Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
We'll pod when we want, we'll pod when we want, we're on the roast, we'll pod when we want. Hello, everybody. I don't really know why I'm starting off the pod on that note. How you doing, Raj?
Yeah, I'm not too bad, mate. Yourself?
Yeah, pretty decent, mate. Pretty decent.
It feels just like 3 months ago we were doing this.
Just scraping off that rust.
Jesus.
You're an old cunt as well now, so...
Yeah.
It's even harder for you now, mate. You've got that sort of, like, cognitive delay that kicks in.
I was always 20 years older than my actual age, so it's sort of... Yeah, it's all caught up with me. But, yeah, we'll ignore the rigmarole of having to sort of teach ourselves how to do this again and jump in. There's a bit to catch up on.
I was going to say, well, I don't know. I think behind the curtain, the people need to know that it's literally taken us about 45 minutes to get the pod set up for recording.
It used to take us all of 30 seconds as well, which is the truth, and that's vaguely embarrassing. I forgot a password, and then I logged into a wrong account, and then I didn't know how to set the software up. It's been a long old time since we did this, but I'm happy to be back. I spoke to you on the phone earlier, and it's reassuring that, you know, hearing your voice again and everything.
I know. Like I said, it's like a warm embrace. It's like the hit of a nice single malt scotch, you know, by a fireplace.
It's not as if we haven't spoken to each other for 6 months. It's just that we've been texting and what have you. So, you know, life takes over when, you know, you, successful video producer, me,
published author,
books and things. Yeah. So it's been a while, but you know, we've got a bit of time now to kill.
We started from the bottom, now we're back at the bottom. Here we are.
Yeah, I'd like to think of it more as, you know, when a really big band just comes out of nowhere and drops a surprise record, and you're like, oh shit, it's whoever it is. Yeah, this is us back. We don't have to, you know, do it, you know, whenever with everyone else. We're better than that.
This is like one of those EPs they make on a holiday. Like you say, they'll just get like a little Zoom recorder, sit around with a few acoustic mics and an old synth and be like, yeah, let's just drop this, you know.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing. And that's the touch of class you get with Roll the Roost. You know, we're not constrained by any capitalist agenda other than Acast, whose adverts you probably heard at the top end of this.
That's just because we don't have the money to set up our own hosting.
Dash can't be asked anymore.
Yeah.
Right.
When is the last time we actually did this? Have we got a date?
Too long ago, mate. Too long ago.
It has been too long. We said it'd be a small break because we were busy. Do you know what? It's September.
Jesus.
Yeah. 29th of September. So that's October, November, December, January. It's been almost 6 months. 5 months.
As a catch-up then, right, because, you know, we've had a lot of talk about the Wembley curse, how much everyone else has paid.
Fucking thing anymore, is it?
Exactly, all this stuff. How are you feeling about Tottenham's season so far, where we are, what
we're doing? Reasonably happy. I think we said if we challenge in a cup and keep in the Champions League, then we'll be happy with our lot. And I think that's, as we're doing, the Champions League's been a really nice surprise this year. We're batting above as average and, you know, it feels like that first season back in the Champions League.
We won a fucking group with Real Madrid in it.
Yeah.
We battered Real Madrid. I don't care how their domestic form is. We battered Real Madrid.
We did. And Borussia Dortmund twice.
Yep.
So it's, you know, it's not a mean feat. It's been really good. I mean, Harry Kane's gone up another level. We've seen Dele Alli getting sucked off. It's been an eventful time. I don't know what to say. I mean, it feels Davinson nice.
Sanchez is the absolute boy.
Yeah, should we go through the squad then? Because we really do need to catch up. Should we literally go from one to whatever the squad ends at?
Should we start on what I feel is potentially going to be a negative then, I guess?
Are you going to say nasty things about Hugo Lloris?
I think it might be perceived as nasty, but I've still got a lot of love for the man. I'll start it on that note.
All right, so what are the drawbacks you've seen from him this season?
I just think he's dropped off a little in his quality. But by his own benchmark that he set, his very own high standards.
Yeah.
I think he's been beaten at his near post probably about 4, 5, 6 times this season.
Is that because the goals at Wembley are bigger?
Yeah. Dear God. It was a genuine, because it was a pure moment of innocence. I was like, they look bigger, you know? And I just liked, because it was one of those Stonewall, like, no, the goals don't change size at any point, Jack.
I got what you meant the first time, but I had that moment of myself where, no, he has said something silly here. And I was like, no, the goals stay the same size. And it was my own thing of like, are the goals a different size at Wembley? But no,
I don't know just with Hugo.
I mean, he's made one or two high profile mistakes, but I think a lot of you know, the top end goalkeepers are. I don't think there is such a thing as a faultless goalkeeper anymore. I think you sort of have to take the high sides with the low. And I still think if you were to do that almost cliche thing of trying to see, you know, does he win you 6 points a season or whatever, I still think it, you know, his average is higher than his losses are. And even now, if he has gone down a step, he's still by far the best goalkeeper we've had in my lifetime. Yeah. You know, he's 31 years old, so he's probably coming into the second half of his career, because obviously goalkeepers go on for a lot longer. So he's not as sprightly as he will have been once. He's not as youthful. And I can see he's making decisions to sort of counteract that. And there's definitely changes in approaches in some area. But I think one of the things that seems to get to him the most is when the back line changes, because we do, and we are now swapping a lot between a back four and a back three, and the personnel in there isn't as settled as it once was. Touched on Sanchez, he drops in now. Eric Dier plays in there sometimes. Alderweireld's been out. His only one constant really is Jan Vertonghen, because the fullbacks swap almost every game as well. So I think that's slightly unsettling for him compared to where he had been, for example, last season, where it was, you know, almost definite who was going to be in there. The four, you know, Rose, Walker, Alderweireld and Vertonghen were a given. And if there was an additional one, then there was an additional one. But it wasn't anything more serious than that. So there is that to it. But there's still nobody else I would rather have in goal. There's nobody else that I can realistically see Ingles being able to purchase who will be enough better than him to make that a move that I would want to do. So it's one of those where it's a rich man's problem starting to complain about Hugo Lloris, if I'm being perfectly honest.
It definitely is. It's you know, in this kind of, like, I think there's a part of my perspective here that's been skewed by the fact that we've suddenly been a team that's missed out on the title marginally in two seasons consecutively now.
Yeah.
You know, and you do start to look at football in a slightly different way, in so much as when you are criticising players, you're not criticising them in quite the same way as you were once upon a time. It's not saying this guy isn't good enough for Spurs as an entity, this guy isn't a good footballer.
Yeah.
But sometimes when you're looking at, if we're trying to be one of the top teams in the Premier League and we're competing against a team like Manchester City, as we are now, a team like Manchester United, these finer margins, as ridiculous as they sound, you kind of have to hone in on them a bit. But like you say, with Lloris, the other sort of thing I fall back onto with this, and this is part of my own like thought process as well behind this, and it's why I don't let myself sort of run away with it too much, is who do you replace him with? Like, literally, who do we replace Lloris with? People say Butland. To me, not in the same ballpark as Lloris. Nowhere close to him. Pickford's supposed to be like the great white hype. You know, I think we've not seen that so far. Probably harsh. He's a very young keeper. He's probably got a lot of, you know, good years ahead of him. But still, he's certainly not doing what Petr Cech did at a similar age in the Premier League to suggest that he's ever going to be of that sort of quality.
Yeah.
people mention sort of names like Oblak and other sort of random kind of keepers. I'll be honest, don't know enough about them.
Oblak's a fantastic goalkeeper, but you know, it would be a sideways move for him to come to Tottenham, and the only reason he would come to Tottenham is if we were able to guarantee him guaranteed Champions League football, which we're almost in the position to do, and a significant increase in his wages, which we're not yet in the position to do, and we're slowly getting there. It's probably an argument for another day, but it's, and again, I don't think he's that much better than Lloris that he would he would justify the amount of money that would need to be spent on him, because it'd be over 40, 50 million pounds. It'd be a record Tottenham signing, and I'm not sure with Hugo Lloris there whether or not that's a position that needs that attention. There are other places you would rather spend that amount of money if we had it to spend.
This is a really good point as well.
Yeah.
You know, is it an urge? Fair enough, if Michel Vorm or Paolo Gazzaniga was our permanent number one, you chuck 50, 60 mil at a keeper. When you have Hugo Lloris in there and you think, all right, he's conceding your goal at his near post, frustrating as it is at the time, in the wider picture, as a club that is basically in a position to buy one player of that sort of value per window, we're not going to lump that on the keeper yet, are we?
So,
Hugo.
It's a position for another day. If he was to deteriorate significantly again another season, then you might look at it. But he still has performances and still makes saves that are of the very highest standard. And as soon as that goes out of his game, then maybe it's a conversation worth having. We know what his high points are, his reactions, and the fact that he's very comfortable organising his defence and coming out of goal are still things that he does very, very well and better than almost anybody else on the planet. The things that he's still terrible at are the things that we've always known he's terrible at. He cannot kick or pass a ball at any level or
it's awful. Sort of, it, like Vorm's kicking. The only thing like Vorm is when he's there. Well, it's weird, isn't it? Because when Vorm comes in, I do think his kicking is better than Lloris's, genuinely, and Vorm's not that good at all.
Yeah, you don't have the same confidence in him as you do when Hugo goes in goal. But as I wrote a couple of seasons ago, complaining about Hugo Lloris' failure to kick the ball is sort of like finding out your soulmates with Miss World, but you break up with her because she puts the milk in her tea first. And that's something that really upsets me, people who put the milk in the tea first. I find it really freaky and don't understand why anyone would ever do it.
No, they deserve.
But you learn to live with it, don't you? Yeah, you learn to live with it, don't you?
Yeah, I guess we can get past that.
Well, we have done for long enough. Just, you know, make him play it simple or lump it down the middle long. Don't try and do anything fancy. Because it's on the occasions where he tries to be too clever for his own good that he gets caught out. When he tries to play a little dink or something clever, he ends up fucking it up because he's just not good enough. And, you know, you pick your battles and you learn what you're good at and what you're not. So, you know, that's sort of, you know, what we've got to do there. There's, you know, I'm perfectly happy with him, to be quite frank.
Right. Kieran Trippier and Serge Aurier. Like, that's top line on either one of these boys. How have you found Aurier so far?
He's the high side of him is really high and the low side of him is really low. And the only reason that is the case is because I genuinely think his IQ is a negative. he's the only footballer I've ever seen that appears to be in lobotomized. And that's in, you know, we had enough problems with sort of his behaviour before he came to the club. And when you see how he acts on a football field, you sort of understand why. Because
you always feel like there's a red card there, don't you?
A red card or, you know, him thinking that goals are different sizes at different stadiums. There's that level of intelligence to him. He's concerning that, but he, you know, in sort of the home game against Real Madrid and other games where I think the home game against Liverpool where he got put on the left to deal with Salah cutting in are examples of when he's really good. He's obviously really quick. The athleticism's there. His willingness to go forward is obviously a real high. And if Pochettino gets a chance to work with him over a season or two, then we've seen how he can turn sort of poorer seeming players into world beaters. And you wouldn't count against him doing it again. It might take a little longer because, you know, there's nothing between his ears.
Yeah, I feel like Pochettino, it feels like there's the raw materials there for Pochettino to make him a fine player. And a lot of the similar criticism was levelled at Kyle Walker at first, right? People said he was quite thick and he managed to cover that. So you do feel like there could very well be a player there in Aurier. I'll be brutally honest, I've been a lot less impressed than I thought I would be with him. If I'm being brutally honest, I tend to just about on balance still feel more comfortable when Kieran Trippier is there. And I know that's probably not going to be a popular opinion, but I just feel that little bit more comfortable with Trippier. And I think Trippier is a very, very limited player. I don't think he's as bad as a lot of people make out, but I do still think he's severely limited. However,
here's the thing with Kieran Trippier. His highs are a lot higher than Aurier's, but his lows are a lot lower as well. Because he's a middling player, he's a safe 7 to 8 player when he's on song.
Yeah.
There's less of a worry that he's going to shit himself in the manner that Aurier can and has done in the past. That away game against West Ham, for example, he put us in all sorts of trouble for no good reason.
Yeah, good shout.
So there is that. It's sort of just deciding, is the risk with Aurier worth the reward? And knowing if that's going to be there or not, so it's a strange one. I'm glad that they're both there. There's no bad thing having that sort of a competition, and you've just got to know sort of who's going to be number one in the big games, and I'm sure that will make itself more evident when we go into the latter stages in Champions League and what have you.
Again, like we touched on at the top of the show, I think both players are of a quality where you could easily see them commanding a place in a lot of teams outside the top 6 or 7 in the league, to be honest. So, you know, it kind of shows you their quality, really. That's a place in the sort of matchday squad, not automatically in the starting lineup of. At left back, obviously, your boy Ben Davies and the snake, Danny Rose. Have you forgiven Danny yet, mate?
Not really. There's not the love that was there previously, and he's not been as good. There's not, you know.
No. He's carrying a bit, isn't he?
Yeah, he's not managed to get a consistent run of games together. Ben Davies has, quite frankly, been better than he has for a little while now, and that's because Danny Rose has regressed and Ben Davies has gotten better. And Rose just seems to be in this weird halfway house now where if he was performing to the level he was performing at before his injury, then you might be more willing to forgive him and sort of see the high side of having him in the squad, because he was the best left-back in the country. But he's no longer there anymore. So it's almost where if somebody's silly enough to come in and go, here's 40, 50 million for Danny Rose, you go, what? You can have him. We can reinvest that money elsewhere in somebody who's younger, somebody who's less injury prone. Ryan Sessegnon would be fantastic. He's absolutely brilliant. He plays higher now than he has previously, so he's not actually playing left back as consistently. I mean,
is he doing a Bale?
A bit. He's already done the Bale, but there's no, at his age, there's nothing against moving him back there and training him back there. Even what's his name, Kyle Walker-Peters, played really, really well against Newport in the away game. He was one of the only good players in the first half against them. He got taken off somewhat unfairly. I'd have actually taken Kieran Trippier off myself. But you know, we've got other players there who seem more positive than Rose does at present, and it's almost as if that has come to its natural conclusion. There was a time where he could have come back from that interview, and he's made sort of the right sounds and said the right things post that to almost try and forgive himself, but the performances on the field haven't been good enough to do it. So you would see that as a position in the summer where you take the money and you reinvest, and you know, you give him to a Manchester United, because I don't see him hurting us in that position, to be honest.
I feel like we take 30 mil for him now, maybe even 25.
In this inflated market, you had a bit of tax on that, especially if he's going to a rival. They've got bottomless funds, as they've shown, so I wouldn't accept anything less than 40 for him. because that's what they previously wanted to pay, and that's what we stand our ground on. He's got a long contract as well. So if he's not happy with that, we can loan him out further down the league and you can go improve your fitness.
It does feel like he's got one foot out the door, though, doesn't it? It doesn't quite feel right.
No, it hasn't done for a long time either.
Yeah. Let's not dwell on that though. Anyway, we've done that one to death. It would be nice to get some backup in that position. So there we go. Jan Vertonghen, to me, he's having an imperious season. The man's hitting his peak now, and he
for a couple of years he has, yeah.
Yeah, he's a majestic footballer. There's not much more I can say than that. I think he's
with Toby Alderweireld missing for as long as he has been, and with him having to play next to Eric Dyer, who still doesn't know his best position. And Davinson Sanchez, who's a young kid, clearly has an incredible future in front of him, but isn't the finished project yet. He's doing an incredible job because he's the only consistent part of that defence other than Hugo Lloris, and he's holding it together almost single-handedly. He deserves to be in the conversation for Tottenham's Player of the Year just because he needs the acknowledgement and deserves the acknowledgement for how good he is. Because, you know, he used to be one for a rash challenge. That seems to have gone out of his game now. He's a bit older. He's constantly there. He's constantly the one that's making the last-ditch challenges if they need to be. But also, at the same time, he still knows when to step up and make the difference going forward if he has to. He is one of the best centre-halves in the league. And the fact that people don't recognise him as such is a tad insulting, if I'm being honest.
Well, it's startling, isn't it? I mean, I saw a bit of because he got sent to the shops by Salah the other day, but, you know,
Salah should have never got that far in that move.
And also, I mean, Salah's tearing the league to pieces. The guy's in the form of his life at the moment. You know, it's what he's doing. You know, it's just what he's doing. Jan Vertonghen, it's not to say
he didn't have another choice in that position either, because if he sticks a leg out,
you know, he's
Salah's
a brilliant player. He's still a brilliant player, and it doesn't take away from that. Salah's another brilliant player, or at least a player in spectacular form at the moment. These things happen.
Well, but Salah was taking the piss out of Serie A before he came here, so it's not as if he's an unknown quantity and being very good.
No.
Unless you're Chelsea.
No. Toby Alderweireld is Toby Alderweireld. We haven't had much of a chance to see him in action this year, really.
It'll be nice to have him back.
Yeah, do you worry at all about the contract stuff, just very quickly?
Slightly. It's not good that it's dragged on this long, but I would back the club to get it done. I just think they're trying to get the best deals for themselves, but once it comes down to crunch time, then I think they'll find a way of keeping him at the club. Because I actually think he wants to be at the club. The only way he improves on that is if a Barcelona come in for him, which is probably the natural move for him. And I don't
think him and Jan, though, surely he knows the partnership he has with Jan Vertonghen and how invaluable. Because to me, you know, I see a lot of comparisons between the two of them. And I've been guilty of that in the past, but I actually feel now, you know what, they are actually just, I don't want to compare
two halves
them
of a whole.
To me. That's it. That's what they are. You know, they just, with those two, there isn't, at the moment, I don't feel there's a better centre back pair in Europe, at least. You know, I can't.
They're well in the conversation for definitely. Yeah. And Tottenham are a stronger team when they're both there as well, because we get to have that fluidity of being able to change formations and everything. I actually think our strongest team is three at the back with Alderweireld, Vertonghen, and Sanchez all in there. Because all three of them get to do what they're best at. Vertonghen gets to go forward a little bit more. Toby has the range to knock a few 40-yarders if he fancies it, and Davinson Sanchez can run through a few attackers and literally run them off the ball without being scared of, you know, being left behind.
I love him, mate. I really do.
Yeah, he has this knack of, he doesn't tackle, he escorts people off the ball just brutally. It's fantastic to see. He is going to be a huge player in the future.
Oh, I mean, dear God, yes.
At his age and how good he's been already, just it's going to be fantastic. I mean, even Juan Foyth as well, when we've seen him in little bursts, he looks like a player as well.
Yeah, I quite like him.
In the future, you know, once Jan and Toby get a bit older, if we naturally sort of progress into having a back two of Sanchez and Foyth, then I think we're in good hands as well.
One of the things I've seen that has irked me quite a bit in terms of the criticisms of Sanchez and Foyth as well.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Completely neglects the fact that, you know, these guys are centre backs. So at centre back as a position by default, your errors are always going to be so much more damaging. Really, they are, because of the position you occupy on the pitch. A centre back kind of not tracking his man properly will generally result in a goal. Whereas a striker that hasn't run the line properly and moved into space appropriately, it doesn't show up as glaringly obviously. So I think there needs to be this understanding that these are still two very, very young players, especially for a position where, you know, they peak a lot later on in their careers, who are holding their own. Sanchez in particular, I'm astounded that he hasn't received more plaudits just from the wider footballing community for being a 22-year-old lad to show the maturity and just quality that he has so far. Yeah, he's had a couple of wobbles here and there, but not every young defender is Ledley King. You know, they're not. They don't just come into the league and look at home in it straight away.
Yeah.
And even Ledley early on in his career had a few wobbles. He worked with Neybert a lot back in the day to improve himself. And, you know, if
that's how they learn as well.
Well, this is it. And I think the way in which this is framed is bizarre, in that Sanchez is 22, yet we still have, John Stones, who's 25, 24, 25. We've got Rob Holding at Arsenal, who's 24, 25. And their mistakes are often forgiven, because they're seen as young defenders. And people are forgetting, Davinson Sanchez is outperforming. To me, Davinson Sanchez walks in City's team over John Stones. That might be a big call, but I feel I would be happier having Davinson Sanchez than John Stones in our defence. I can say that, honestly. And John Stones is somebody that's touted as being, you know, an England international, a future kind of England captain, or perhaps a captain at City.
Yeah.
But this is a guy that's still got years and a lot more Premier League experience than Sanchez does. I think Sanchez is a brilliant, brilliant footballer. And I do worry he might not be a player we have for very long, but I'll be happy for as long as we do. I say that more so not from pessimism, but knowing that Barcelona were very, very, very interested in him at the same time as we were.
He's going to go for an absolute shit ton though when he does.
Yeah. But I believe he came to us because he was guaranteed, you know, more action as opposed to being stuck in at La Masia and having.
Yeah,
to
well, you know what? There. In this day and age, and football being the business it is, that's exactly what Tottenham should be doing, because we can't. Be buying the same players that Barcelona want, but we can get the prospects that they fancy before they can, and we can be better off for it in the time that we're here. If Sanchez gives us 3-4 seasons, absolutely fantastic. He will be, you know, brilliant in that time. And when we sell him on, given the market what it is, we'll be selling him for, you know, 6-7 times the amount that he's probably worth. You know, we bought him for 40. It wouldn't surprise me if he goes for double, if he, you know, progresses at the rate he has done already, especially to a club like that who seem content on spending a shit ton of money on people. And then we can spend a tenth of that money on somebody else and be better off for it again. So that's the position in which we live now. We know they're a bigger fish. We just have to be smart about it, and we can actually game the system in doing it. And there's no shame in doing that, because, you know, there is a food chain, and if you're able to manipulate that and use it in your favour, then so be it. You have to be smarter. If you do not have sort of a bottomless pit of cash, which even when the stadium is built, we won't. No. Even when we've got a huge ground and we're Champions League every single season and we're you know, going for titles every year, we still won't have the same pulling power as those clubs do, just because, you know, it doesn't happen overnight and it might never do. You just have to be a bit smarter than them. And if you do it smarter, then, you know, one year you can catch them out, and that's when you try and, you know, push forward and win your cups and things. And that's why, you know, I have no problem in Tottenham doing what they're doing, because literally it's the best possible version of ourselves.
If you're, and no bias, honestly, I mean this with no bias, if you're Ryan Sessegnon, you take a look at the kind of the top level teams, the top level Premier League teams now that you can conceivably move to. Spurs is the best option for you. It's absolutely the best option for you.
What you do is when you go and sit down with him and his family and his agent, you take a printout of the England squad and you go, here you go, kid. Do you want to be part of this? This is where you come. Because it's not a given at any other club. You go to Manchester United, you might be scapegoated by Mourinho. You go to Chelsea, you might be on loan to Vitesse. You go to Liverpool, you're going to be part of a dogshit defence. If you come to Tottenham, at least you know you're going to be trained properly, improve as a player, and actually being given a sniff of first-team opportunities. And he's not making as big a jump as even Dele Alli did or Eric Dyer did.
No.
It's even more of a sure thing for him. So he doesn't have to move out of London. There are so many bonuses of him coming our way compared to anywhere else that it really does make the most sense of him coming here. And I think in England, we are the premier placed for sort of 18 to 21-year-olds to come and be better players. And I think if that becomes our USP, and we almost become what Benfica and Porto are in Portugal, and use it as almost a halfway house for the world's next Messis and Ronaldos, then that's a fantastic place for us. I know there's some people who that might hurt their pride and they're like, oh, we don't want to be used as a stepping stone. But if you don't want to be used as a stepping stone, then we're going to be shit. And we're not going to have the type of players that you want to have. And if you lull yourself into a false sense of security with these players and don't actually acknowledge the position we are in with them, then you're going to be heartbroken every time one of them leaves, and you're going to have a shit summer and winter every time one of them goes, rather than going, you know what, he did well for us for 3 years and then he earned us a shit ton of money, which is exactly what we wanted from him. So but you almost have
also,
to...
Like, I mean, let's be real as well. You know, there's 50 years of narrative that surrounds, and just general living conditions that surrounds Barcelona and Real Madrid that nowhere else in the world has. As great as City are doing, and for all their riches and for all the football and for Pep Guardiola leading the charge, in my mind, all of their top players still go to Real or Barca if firm interest is lodged.
Yeah.
You know, it's just the way it is. Man United couldn't even hold Cristiano Ronaldo, you know. And that was when Man United were the best team in Europe. They were actually the best team in Europe when Ronaldo left them for Real Madrid. There is a lure of those clubs. So as you say, if we're a feeder club to either of those two, you know you're doing something right. You know, it's nonsense. You know, there's nothing we can do, and that's just the way it is. And we don't have, you know, petrodollars that lots of other clubs do. But what's that done for Chelsea? You know, and as good as City look at the moment, what's to say that they're not going to do the same thing that Chelsea have done and yo-yo up and down every time? You know, Pep Guardiola's not a legacy builder. You know, he doesn't build empires. Pep Guardiola comes in, does what Mourinho does, you know, and shortly winds people up, winds up players, winds up people behind the scenes. That's not going to last forever. So, you know, nothing is forever. This too shall pass.
I think it's better the devil you know as well, as far as we're concerned, because people always go, oh, Levy this, Levy that, that's the reason we don't have this player or that player or what have you. I mean, I tweeted out tongue-in-cheek the other week. It was a date on from 7 or 8 years after we'd bid 38 million for Sergio Aguero or something, and it was only like a million or two less than his buyout clause. So it was clearly just Levy testing the water and going, oh, we'll look as if we're serious about buying this player, but not actually buying because we don't really have the funds. It's more of a PR stunt than anything else. People got their knickers in a twist over it, like, oh, we would have been the world's best team if we'd signed Sergio Aguero at that point. And you're like, you don't know. He may not have been ready for the Premier League at that point. It may not have come off. He may have left in a year because he was getting shit wages like Luka Modric was. It's one of those where you sort of... The thing that I'm most happy with is this is... Even though we're good, it's not just the goodness of what we have that makes me happy with it. It's the fact that we've got players like Harry Kane... and homegrown players in there and people like Jan Vertonghen who've almost been there 10 years and a manager like Pochettino who you can really get behind and like that makes me the happiest I've ever been with Tottenham, even though we've got fucking duds like Moussa Sissoko in the team and, you know, we're not entirely sure of what's going to happen. There's always, you know, a fear of, you know, somebody's going to come and pinch his crown jewels and what have you. It's still the happiest I've ever been as a Tottenham fan, not just because of the success, but the way the team makes me feel. And had we done things differently in the past, then Harry Kane might be playing for Millwall now or still on loan at Leyton Orient. This may never have happened. And I think things always happen for a reason. And I think we did have to wade through the shit in an Andy Dufresne-esque manner to get to where we are now. And I wouldn't trade it for anything. Even if Sergio Aguero would have come and scored 50 goals one season to fire us to the most unlikely Premier League title in the world, we'd have probably then flattened again. We'd have done a Blackburn and, you know, be run by chicken farmers from India or what have you. and it, you know, it's one of those where I'm aware of how, you know, being overly sort of thinking the grass is greener elsewhere can just lead you down a path and you know, do you in worse than just being happy with your lot sometimes. And knowing where we've come from, having grown up through the 90s and us being shit and what have you, then if this is us for the next sort of 5 to 10 years of actually being a decent team who competes in and out, maybe pick up a cup or two in there, then I'll take that. I'll be happy with
it. As long as we don't have a Monaco-style exodus or what have you, you know, and we keep... And it's not to say we're going to hold on to this exact crop
of players.
I don't
think we will, because we don't play in France. And
exactly. And, you know, if we're bringing through players like Sanchez, so, you know, perhaps we do lose a Dele Alli, but we bring somebody else in that can hit a different ceiling or, you know, basically be of a good enough quality to see that we maintain the sort of performances and sort of team ethic we have done. And as long as we keep hold of Pochettino, I mean, in my mind, we do win the league in the next 5 to 10 years.
Yeah.
You know, we do. We just do.
And not to sort of drum down the point too much, but one Tottenham title means more than any Chelsea title or any Manchester City title ever has. Because we've done it in a far more reasonable and organised and acceptable manner than they ever have. And, you know, have these really pretty academies and big fortresses that they've built with the money and things, but ours will be far easier to swallow and, you know, our ups will be far higher than theirs will because of it. And even though people get upset when I say things like that because, you know, they like to ignore that area of football just because they like to concentrate on what happens on the field, which, you know, fair play if you're happy doing that. But if you have a look at the wider picture, then I'm very much happy with where we are and what we have been doing, because even run by Daniel Levy, we mugged off Real Madrid and we've got fantastic players and we're batting above his weight still and overachieving. So there's a lot to be proud of still.
Yeah, big time, mate. Right, let's go on to midfield. Let's do it quick. So Eric Dier, to me, you know, he's a capable squad player. I've been a bit disappointed with him this year. I think Liverpool was kind of a great shot. It's still fresh in the mind, but not to be too knee-jerk, I did find, you know, his lack of press a bit worrying. It's something I've sort of noted throughout. His passing's a little bit off this season. I don't know if his head's quite in the game. He doesn't seem to know really what position he wants to go into. But, you know, to me, he's not somebody I want to sack off by any means. He's a He's somebody that can cover right back, centre back, defensive midfield, central midfield.
That actually might be his problem. He might be a victim of his own versatility.
Exactly, and that's it. And you know, he seems to be one of the characters around the dressing room. He seems to be very well liked. So, as long as he wants to stay, as long as his head hasn't been turned too much, you know, fine, keep him on. But I think perhaps his ceiling's not quite as high as I hoped, or perhaps naively expected it might be. You know, getting caught up in the sort of loving that we've had over the past couple of seasons for a lot of our younger players. I don't know if
he's only
different on that.
He's only 6 months younger than Victor Wanyama, and he's not as good a player.
Nowhere near for me.
I think Wanyama wants his up to match.
That's astounding. I didn't realise he was.
Yeah, Wanyama's June 91, and Dyer is. 15th of January 94. So he's just turned 24. It's not 6 months, sorry. It's about a year. Wanyama's 26 and turned 26 in June. So there is 18 months a year? So it's not that much at all between the two of them. They'll have been just outside of the same school year. So there's, I'd put my chips on Wanyama if I had to. Dyer will probably go if he doesn't settle into the first team somewhere. And, you know, that's one of those positions we'll have to fill again.
Wanyama, he's just an astounding footballer.
Yeah, when he kicked the air out of that ball against Liverpool.
My God.
I made a shriek I've never made in my life. Actually,
honestly, people were in the pub, I watched in the pub, people were screaming, like just from that. You know when, like, drill sergeants in the army shout so much their voices go, like, so shrill and they actually scream? That's what it was like. People just shrieking out of, like, just sheer astonished surprise. Yeah.
You know how your throat aches after you've been to a really good gig or a game and, you know, your vocal cords are a bit tired and what have you? That's how they felt after one shriek after that goal. It wasn't even I didn't say any words. It wasn't yes or wow or anything like that. It was just literally it was almost like I'd done a Wilhelm scream from a film. If you'd have, you know, saved it and put it into Scream or what have you, it wouldn't have been out of place. It was just genuinely I didn't know what to do with myself, because when he came up to hit that ball, I was imagining it was going to end up at Goodison Park, and the fact that it bent outside of the post and went top corner, it was ridiculous.
Just touching on that game quickly, how brilliantly salty is that fan base, man?
Oh, they couldn't be more upset, could they?
Mate, I've seen everything from it being a Jewish-led, Nike-backed conspiracy.
Somebody went on John Moss, the wrong John Moss. That
what a fucking goon. Like,
they leaked Dele Alli getting his willy licked as well, didn't they? As sort of retaliation, thinking that would end his career.
But do you know what I mean? That's just
bizarre. Nobody's mentioned it afterwards.
Right, you know, it's like young, successful footballer is a bit of a shit shocker. Like, so what, it's just about getting a blowy, and if he's weird enough... I don't know, sportsmen in general have a weird kind of lack of inhibitions when it comes to sexual practice, you know, like doing stuff in rooms with mates, filming them and all that kind of thing. It's all a bit grim and it's all a bit murky, but it's pretty much all of them. Like, Dele Alli is far from the only one to have gotten involved in all that sort of a thing. So, you know, it's not really the sort of worst thing that you could come out with. It's no Kyle Walker sex tape, let's put it that way.
Who's he letting video that? Because, you know,
it's one of his weird mates, isn't it?
There's never any period in my life where I've ever wanted anyone to put me on film doing that. And he looks embarrassed in the video. I mean, it's 10 seconds.
Well, he does his weird little wave, doesn't he, though?
Yeah, and he's got the world's largest pubes I've ever seen. He needs to see to them. But, yeah, it's just a very strange thing all around.
It's a bit of a weird one. Moussa Dembélé, how are you feeling? He's been Moussa Dembélé of old the past couple of games, hasn't he?
You know what? I was speaking to my old man about this the other day when he had a really good game. And the way I think about it is, you know, on certain games, you get a power bar and then you can use a special move. I think Moussa Dembélé is our special move. And if we try and use him too much, then we'll get knackered. He can't play twice in a week. He needs to be saved for the big games. It's not quite to a Ledley standard yet. But if we're irresponsible with him, then that's what it will be. It's almost like having a weekend car. You don't take it out to go to the shops. You only take it out when you know you're actually going to be motoring. And we need to be able to do that with him. We need to be able to have somebody who can competently cover for him in games that we should win without using our very best players. And he needs to be sort of kept in cotton wool and saved for those big occasions now. Because, you know, people have been slightly premature with writing him off and saying he's finished and his body's done.
Exhibit A.
But he's sort of, he's 90% there. And we need to make sure now that on this, you know, he is on the finishing straight of his career because, you know, if he picks up one more serious injury, then that could be him done. He might not be able to get himself back from that.
Mm.
We just need to be more sensible with him. And I think we're a far better team when he's on song and in that midfield. There's no argument against that. We just need to make sure that he's available for those. So when we've got Swansea at home, he shouldn't have to play. But when we've got Juventus away, he needs to play. That's the difference. So I still think he's fantastic. He's not as important as he once was, but he is still in the best team that we have. And he needs
he's still one of the like senior members of the squad, isn't he, really? They obviously look up to him, a lot of the players.
If you ever hear an interview with any of the Spurs players, they go out of their way to fawn over him. And they're almost sort of in awe of how good he is. And the fact that we never see training is one thing, but they always pick, oh, who would you have in your team? Dembele, who's the most skillful or strongest or whatever, they go for Dembele. He clearly has a hold on the younger players. And, you know, this is the longest he's ever been at any club now at Spurs. It's mostly appearances and what have you. He's a mainstay here. I think he's happy here. He's happy in London. He's happy with his Belgian teammates. He just needs to keep himself sort of solid. To be honest, if I was his manager, I'd be having a word with him and go, you know what, you go to the World Cup this year, you have, you know, you see off this Belgian golden generation, you retire after it because you're 30 now. And if you want to still be playing when you're 35, you need to be picking your battles. You can't be turning up for, you know, international weeks and what have you. During those weeks, you literally need to be sat with your feet up and doing fuck all. Because if you're irresponsible with your own body now, you're on your way out earlier than you would before. I would do that say that.
Does he make their World Cup squad, do you reckon?
I think so, yeah. I think he's, isn't he one of their captains or what have you? He's
100% how it works out there. They've got such a dearth of talent now.
Yeah, but I still think he makes it. I still think he...
Dearth is a lot, isn't it?
I think he makes it. I mean, if he doesn't make it, I'm not going to be crying over it because it means that he's got a summer off. I still think he's got quite a hold on the Belgian team and he's one of the senior players there as well. But it depends what Bobby Martinez fancies doing.
Let's never, ever, ever forget that he is a beautiful man.
Absolutely handsome.
Yeah, he's one of the most underrated players in our squad, to be honest, in that front. So. Yeah.
I think we're about halfway through the team. Do you want to, should we hit a nail on the head here and then we can record a second half of it at some point, either, you know, tomorrow or something, lunchtime or what have you, and we can just drop them out together because nobody knows we're doing this. People still think we've gone away. So this can be like a two-part surprise.
Yeah, sure thing.
Yeah, because I know you've got to go watch us lose to Newport in the Cup.
Yeah. All right, should we just record like a little outro to this then?
This can be the outro. I'm still speaking as if it's the podcast. If we're going to take people behind the curtain, we can take people behind the curtain. This is an on-air decision-making process.
Yeah, let's do it that way.
Nobody knows we're doing this. It's quite a nice little neat surprise.
I do like it. Like you say, it's a secret, like a secret EP.
Yeah.
But yeah, part two, coming soon, bitches.
Hello, this is the official spokesperson of Rule the Roost podcast, text-to-speech. It is true, the hiatus is over. You can stop tweeting us now. You fucking needy cunts. I mean, seriously, a couple of months off and you'd think we died. Beggar's belief. Anywho, part one was recorded last week. Part two is yet to be completed. It will be soon. Don't panic. Pod soon come. Trust. That's all for now. We'll be back. Hold tight, motherfuckers. TTS out.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.